Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're setting our sights on Barbados. We're going to explore the ongoing scrutiny surrounding Hope Inc. That's a state-owned enterprise with a pretty significant mission, providing affordable housing.
Right.
Our main source, our lens for this deep dive, is the really comprehensive information you can find over at researchbarbados.com. It's a valuable resource if you want to dig deeper yourself later on.
Absolutely. Homeownership Providing Energy Inc., Hope Inc. for short, was set up back in November 2020. It falls under the Ministry of Housing, Lands, and Maintenance. And like you said, the goal, a very laudable one, is tackling affordable housing in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, as we're about to unpack, its journey hasn't exactly been smooth sailing.
Right.
So our aim today is really to dissect the core issues, try to trace the flow of finances, and understand the, you know, the political reactions to this whole unfolding controversy. We want to offer clarity without getting bogged down in like every single detail. We'll be pulling from news reports, official government statements, other relevant documents, a lot of which, as you mentioned, are often detailed on researchbarbados.com.
So it sounds like this Auditor General's investigation really kind of kicked things off publicly.
Yeah, it seems that way. A controversy really gained public traction because of the work of Barbados's Auditor General, Lee Trotman.
You mentioned earlier it started before September 2024 and was more extensive than they first thought.
That's right. Initial media reports started bubbling up, and it soon came out that these were actually based on a draft document from the Auditor General's office, not the final thing.
Ah, okay. So not the finished report yet.
Exactly. Mr. Trotman himself then confirmed publicly, yes, these reports came from a draft, and his office was waiting for responses to that draft. The deadline, he said, was Friday, March 21st, 2025.
So the final report was still pending at that point.
Right. The implication was it would follow soon after they got those responses.
So this wasn't just a quick peek. It sounds like a pretty thorough examination that had been going on for a while.
Precisely. The Auditor General had actually indicated back in September of the previous year, so 2024, that the investigation was already underway before then and was proving more complex and far-reaching than they initially expected.
Hmm. That definitely suggests the issues aren't just surface level.
No, likely multiple layers involved.
Okay, so as this draft report starts making headlines, generating discussion, what was the government's immediate reaction? They must have felt the need to respond to the speculation.
They did. Linking this to the political side of things, the government moved pretty quickly. The Minister of Housing, Lands, and Maintenance, Dwight Sutherland, he issued a statement basically telling the public to ignore any talk of an impending lawsuit against Hope Inc.
So a denial of legal action.
A very clear denial. He explicitly said the government had no plans for that.
And Prime Minister Mia Motley also weighed in.
Yes, she did. Prime Minister Motley firmly shot down any claims of a lawsuit. She pointed out quite correctly that the required first step, a pre-action protocol letter, hadn't even been issued. You need that before starting civil court proceedings.
Right.
And it's worth remembering, PM Motley had already, back in March 2024, committed to a full report and investigation into the whole Hopi program anyway.
So their message was consistent. No lawsuit now, but yes, we are looking into it.
Seems to be, yeah. Denying immediate legal threats while acknowledging the program was under scrutiny.
Okay, let's pivot then. What about the opposition? The leader of the opposition, Ralph Thorne, he's been quite vocal, hasn't he? What specific points has he been raising?
Yes, Mr. Thorne has definitely emerged as a key critic, focusing heavily on accountability. He's been particularly sharp about the financial management of Hopi Inc.
Like what specific?
Well, one big one was a $4 million repayment Hope made back to the Housing Credit Fund. He challenged Minister Sutherland directly, asking where that money came from, especially since Hope had initially received $60 million from that same fund.
Okay, so $60 million went out, $4 million came back. What was the explanation for that $4 million return?
The Hope chairman, Colin Scaife, stated that the $4 million came from sales at the Vespera Gardens housing project in St. James.
Right.
But Mr. Thorne wasn't buying it, especially since Minister Sutherland had previously said the houses at Vespera Gardens were being sold at cost.
Ah, so Thorne's point was, if they're sold at cost, where does a $4 million repayment, presumably profit or surplus, come from?
Exactly. It's a logical question. It hints at maybe complexities in Hope's finances we don't fully see, or perhaps other funding sources involved.
Yeah, that definitely makes you wonder about the underlying mechanics. But Thorne's criticisms went beyond just this repayment, right? It sounds like he had broader concerns.
Oh, definitely. And these broader points paint a picture of potential systemic issues, raising questions about the very setup and operation of HOPE, Inc.
Such as?
Well, Thorne alleged that HOPE, despite being framed as a public-private partnership, was essentially, from day one, a fully government-controlled entity, basically a vehicle for their housing agenda.
Mm.
He also claimed that the Public Accounts Committee, which is a crucial oversight body, was actually prevented from reviewing that $60 million it got from the Housing Credit Fund.
Wow, okay. Those are pretty serious allegations about transparency and, you know, proper oversight of public money.
They are, and there's more. Thorne also raised serious concerns about how contractors were initially hired. He claimed 26 were hired based only on photographs.
Photographs, seriously.
That was the allegation, and that 19 of those were later dismissed because they apparently lacked the necessary expertise, but after they'd already received public funds. He also questioned if the Hopi homes were even affordable for the people they were meant for, those earning between, say, $1,000 and $2,500 a month. He suggested a disconnect there.
Between the goal and the reality.
Right. And finally, he criticized the appointment of a foreign chairman, Mr. Scaife, citing a higher salary compared to his Barbadian predecessor and apparently initial problems getting the required work permit.
So quite a list of serious concerns from the opposition.
Yeah.
Let's dig into the money side more. Specifically, that $60 million loan from the Housing Credit Fund. What is that fund normally?
Okay, so the Housing Credit Fund itself, it's a state-run fund. Its whole purpose is to boost home ownership for low and moderate income households in Barbados.
How does it do that?
It provides financing to approved financial institutions, banks, credit unions, etc. And they then offer loans to people for new mortgages, home improvements, building houses. There's usually an income cap for the end borrowers, around 51,000 Barbadian dollars annually. And the interest rate the fund charges those institutions is set by the central bank, the idea being to keep it affordable down the line.
And it was this fund that gave $60 million to HOPE, Inc.
Correct. That significant amount was specifically for various housing projects across Barbados. And as we mentioned, $4 million of that was repaid, reportedly from the Vesper Garden sales.
Right.
Minister Sutherland had publicly said the government saw the Housing Credit Fund as a source of working capital loans for HOPE. PM Motley even mentioned the fund was originally thought of as a revolving fund, starting with just $10 million.
But you're saying the details around this specific $60 million loan to HOPE are a bit fuzzy.
That seems to be a key issue. What's missing from the public record are the specific loan terms. Things like, what was the interest rate? What's the detailed repayment schedule beyond that one $4 million payment? Was any collateral put up to secure this big loan? This lack of transparency around such a large chunk of money is likely fueling some of the concerns being raised.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, another huge point of contention seems to be this $64 million contract with a company called Preconco. That's a massive expenditure.
It really is. This contract was signed in December 2022. It was for Preconco to supply 1,000 precast concrete units, basically, wall sections for housing projects planned in several locations.
Okay.
But the Auditor General's investigation reportedly found some pretty significant irregularities.
Like what?
Allegedly, when HOPE Inc. signed this huge $64 million contract, they didn't actually have enough land lots secure to even use all 1,000 units. And, maybe more critically, they also reportedly lacked the financial resources to cover the full contract value, let alone the extra costs for things like foundations and roofs.
So signing a contract for materials they didn't have land for and maybe couldn't fully pay for, that sounds problematic.
It certainly raises serious questions about the planning and, you know, the due diligence involved.
Definitely.
And furthermore, the audit apparently highlighted a big difference between what the HOPE Inc. board initially decided, which was to buy only 50 units, and the much larger contract for 1,000 units that the then chairman actually signed.
So the chairman signed for 20 times more units than the board approved initially.
That's what's reported. Now, the board did apparently ratify or approve after the fact this larger contract. But even so, concerns were reportedly raised about the cost of these precast walls being considerably more expensive than traditional building methods.
Right.
The audit also allegedly found no evidence that they got quotes from other suppliers or that they got the necessary approvals from the Ministry of Housing and Lands or even the Cabinet before committing to this huge spend.
And this whole Preconco contract situation has led to talk of legal trouble.
Yes. Media reports did surface, suggesting Preconco had actually filed a lawsuit against HOPE Inc. The claim was breach of contract because Hope apparently stopped taking deliveries of the units.
Mm-hmm.
The Auditor General's report itself reportedly mentioned the risk of potential litigation and that Hope might have to compensate Preconco for costs or deal with unused materials.
But the government is saying no lawsuit.
Very firmly. Both Minister Sutherland and PM Motley have strongly denied any lawsuit has been filed. Minister Sutherland clarified the situation by saying the Preconco contract was undergoing novation.
Novation, what's that?
It's essentially a legal process where you replace an existing contract with a new one, but you need all parties involved to agree. The idea would be to basically cancel the original agreement and set up new terms.
So they're trying to renegotiate, not fight it out in court. At least according to them.
That is the government's public position, yes. But, you know, those initial findings reported from the Auditor General about how the contract was signed in the first place, they definitely point to potential serious flaws in how this major public expenditure was handled initially.
Okay, let's shift focus a bit. What about the actual houses? What's the progress on the ground with these projects?
Right, the actual delivery. It's a bit of a mixed bag, it seems. The Vesper Gardens project in St. James looks like the most advanced. It's often presented as their flagship development.
That's the one where the $4 million repayment came from.
Correct. It has 148 lots, a mix of 2- and 3-bedroom houses. They've opened show homes. By December 2024, reports said 75 houses were completed there. So some clear progress at that specific site.
Okay, that's one location. What about the others where these units were supposed to go?
Well, other places have hit more significant roadblocks. Poole St. John, for example, was meant to get a lot of units, including many of those Preconco precast ones. But it's been seriously held up by unresolved issues with land titles, stemming from the collapse of CLICO, that big insurance company failure in the region years ago.
Ah, land title issues. That can really stall things.
Definitely. Then there's Clifton in St. Philip, very limited progress reported there, only 11 houses completed by March 2025. Another St. Philip project, River, had 24 houses under construction as of March 2025.
And the other locations mentioned in the Preconco contract, like Colleton and Searles.
Those were named as plan sites, yes. Colleton in St. Lucie and Searles in Christchurch. But specific progress data for those isn't readily available in the sources we've reviewed.
So if the original goal was, what, 10,000 houses? Over 5 years. Based on these numbers, it sounds like they're quite far off that pace.
That seems like a fair assessment, yeah. The reported numbers of completed and ongoing builds by early 2025 certainly show a significant gap between those initial ambitious targets and the current reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's also worth noting, HP Inca went through some restructuring in late 2024. The stated aim was to cut operating costs. They estimated saving about $900,000 annually by moving offices and reducing staff.
Which could be seen as acknowledging some early inefficiencies, perhaps.
One could interpret it that way, yes. An adjustment to their operational model.
Okay, just to keep things clear, can you quickly remind us who the main players are in this whole situation?
Sure. So obviously at the center is Hope Inc. itself. The scrutiny really ramped up due to the investigation by Auditor General Lee Trotman.
Right.
On the government side, the key voices we're hearing from are Minister Dwight Sutherland and Prime Minister Mia Motley. Voicing the opposition's concerns is Leader of the Opposition Ralph Thorne.
Okay.
The chairman of Hope Inc. is Colin Scafo. The money aspect involves the Housing Credit Fund, and the private company in that big contract is Preconco.
Got it. A complex network.
Mm-hmm.
So if we step back and look at the whole thing, what are the fundamental issues here? What's really at the heart of this controversy?
Well, synthesizing everything, it's not just one single problem, is it? It's really a mix of concerns. There's clearly financial management, especially around that big housing credit fund loan and the repayment.
Yeah.
There's the major contractual dispute with Preconco, which brings up questions about procurement rules and processes. Then you've got issues of political accountability, how much oversight is there for this state-owned enterprise.
Right.
Operationally, there are obvious challenges in actually delivering the housing projects as planned. And underlying all of it are these critical social issues. The real need for affordable housing in Barbados, and the potential damage to public trust if these things aren't handled transparently and accountably.
That's a really good summary of the different facets. And just to anchor us in time, can you run through a quick timeline of the key events?
Sure. So November 2020, Hope Inc. is officially established. By 2021, it's publicly launched, ambitious targets announced, groundbreaking at Vespera Gardens.
Okay.
Then December 2022, That big $64 million pre-Conco contract gets signed. Fast forward to late 2024, that restructuring effort happens at Hope Inc. to cut costs.
Right.
Then March 2025 is when opposition leader Ralph Thorne starts publicly asking about that $4 million repayment. Around the same time, those media reports about the Auditor General's draft report surface, initially dismissed by the government. And then, mid-March 2025, the Auditor General himself confirms the draft exists, sets that deadline for responses, while the government keeps insisting no lawsuit with Pre-Conco is happening.
Okay, so that brings us pretty much up to date. As we wrap up this deep dive, what are the biggest unanswered questions still hanging out there? And what's your sense of where things go from here for Hope Inc.?
Yeah, the complexity definitely leaves some crucial things unresolved. First and foremost, we're still waiting for the Auditor General's final report. That's really key. It should hopefully give a more definitive picture of any mismanagement or irregularities.
Right, that seems pivotal.
Second, the full terms and conditions of that $60 million loan from the Housing Credit Fund are still not public knowledge. Understanding the interest rate, the repayment plan, any collateral that's essential for a full assessment.
Definitely.
And third, of course, is the resolution of the Pre-Conco contract issue. Will this novation actually happen? Will it satisfy both sides? Or could there still be legal fallout down the road? That's still uncertain.
And that final Auditor General's report, It feels like that could really change the game, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Depending on what it finds, it could be a watershed moment. It might lead to further investigations, maybe calls for specific accountability measures.
And for Hope Inc. itself.
Yeah.
The future.
Well, it seems pretty clear they need a major effort to address all these issues that have been raised. They'll likely need significant reforms, boosting transparency, improving how they operate efficiently. And crucially, they need to rebuild public trust if they're going to effectively achieve that original goal of providing affordable housing.
Yeah.
The ongoing public discussion, what the government does next, what the opposition continues to push for, all of that will keep shaping this story and ultimately determine the outcome.
Well, this has been a really insightful and at times quite concerning deep dive into the whole Hope Inc. situation in Barbados. It's clear it's not simple. It touches everything from, you know, financial details to big questions about governance and public confidence. It really makes you think about the challenges involved in these large government projects and just how vital transparency and accountability are, especially when you're talking about something as fundamental as housing.
Indeed. And for you listening, if you want to dig even deeper into this ongoing story, maybe look at some of the source documents we've mentioned. We definitely recommend checking out researchbarbados.com. It really is a great resource for keeping up with developments in Barbados.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.